or to advance her in evolution by great amount. We are only here to fulfill our mission of preventing the catastrophe. Well, I want a role in it too. And I'm not waiting for someone to give me a role. I'm taking a role to spread the truth. Back to the script. For further matters, such as helping evolution, etc., other forms of life in your own universe are responsible. These have already been controlling the Earth for thousands of years, and also keep in limits those space-traveling races who have evil intentions toward Earth humans. Boy, don't we feel that. That's what all the controls are. When you are ready to perform your mission, you will still have to learn very much more. You have to see the truth and acknowledge it. And this means for you great study in many things. You have to learn to find the truth by yourself and to evaluate what you find, by which your future life will be very heavy and full of need. You often will desire not to live and to rest in the kingdom of death, but do consider at such times that you have to perform your obligations as any other form of life and are not allowed to shirk your mission. And I think she speaks to all of us with the same words. You want meaning in your life? You want purpose? You've got it. Back to the script. But to help you, you shall be granted certain things. Our technologies permit many things for us, and by this as well, journeys into the past and into the future. So these possibilities may be used to show you matters of great meaning, so you can see the truth in them for yourself, which will be important to you. It is decided to take you into the past to offer you there an opportunity to examine the facts. These are the matters which I came to explain to you today. Wow, what a visit. That was in effect a recapitulation of the telepathic transmission received in the course of deep meditation by Meyer from Ascot on his birthday, the 3rd of February, 1956. He lost that set of notes in his travels, and it was retransmitted to him in the form of automatic writing at Murali, India, on the 1st of September, 1964. He is now being reminded of those transmissions and at the same time getting this confirmation that those telepathic receptions were more real than his imagination. Time has passed and some of these prophesied events had already taken place. Looking back over that statement, it is possible for us to form some observations. 1. Loss of a planet might possibly upset the equilibrium of our solar system and allow it to break up like a wheel out of balance at high revolution. Their concern is heightened by what they say is an example already witnessed in our universe. 2. The mission laid on Edward Meyer is a small mission within the greater self-appointed mission of the protection of our neighboring worlds and systems from the catastrophe of our folly. There are several reasons for this at this time, and also for Meyer being selected to perform the mission. There is good reason for the Pleiadian extraterrestrials being the ones to carry out this phase of activity now, because the Dells have a limitation on time. They had to leave by the end of 1974, presumably due to other cosmic conditions that affect them. Some good reasons for these participants in this drama are: A. The ancestors of the Pleiadians, and consequently ours too, are the ones who perpetrated the other similar catastrophe mentioned, and thus they have a direct responsibility to stop or prevent this new possibility now. B. It was they who brought the madness that allowed this aberration here on Earth, as the power-hungry IHWHs, who set up their early religious feudalism in order to control and enslave the indigenous survivor remnants of their own earlier ancestry here. C. Meyer is told that he was one of the IHWHs then, as were Sannyasi, Ptah, Quetzal, and others here now. Wow. Wow. Number 3. Before they left this sector of space, the Dalls had arranged for the Pleiadians, having a direct responsibility in these problems, to take over where they left off. They had helped the Pleiadians to achieve Mii technologies to better carry out their responsibilities. What is ME Technologies? And what is IHWH? But they were still aboard Ascot's ship, parked there in the Jordanian mountains. The silent remote-controlled shuttlecraft stood dark and silent nearby. Being already very late, Meyer was exhausted and leaned back in the comfortable seat, which now turned into a couch, as Ascot suggested he get some sleep. She relaxed into the other seat, also converted into a couch, which Meyer barely noticed before he sank into a deep sleep. It was daylight when he awoke and saw that Ascot had conjured from somewhere things to eat and drink. I want one of those machines. Now here's a quote from Billy. We sat comfortably at a dust-like formation, which had been pulled out of the ship's wall, and enjoyed a solid meal. What I was eating and drinking I was not able to define, yet it was very tasty, though fully unknown to me. The drink was a bit yellow-white and somehow thick fluid. It would have been some juice of an unknown fruit. Also, the meal seemed to have been prepared from fruits, as well as some vegetables, too. The taste was very strange to me. Still, everything seemed somehow familiar once more. But all was excellent and tasted marvelous to me. After the breakfast Ascot brought from somewhere, a great vessel of cool, clear water, which we took outside the ship and put on the ground nearby. Like little children, we splashed with the delight wetness and cleansed ourselves with it. They remained there until that evening, spending most of the time inside the ship, where Ascot continued the discussions and told Meyer of very many new things. They were already not seeming so strange anymore, but Meyer was astonished that he accustomed himself to all this in such a short time. He seemed to already have known Ascot for thousands of years. She seemed so familiar. And the ship and its details, it had become so familiar in that short time that he didn't wonder about it anymore. In response to a question about aiding Earth sciences on great technical problems, Ascot replied that if any creature should achieve advanced knowledge too early in its development, it may not use such knowledge wisely, and unavoidable and irresistible catastrophes could result, such as the situation we now find ourselves in, having discovered the secrets of atomic sciences that we are not mature enough to control, and those were given to us by aliens. She said such knowledge was betrayed when we turned it to destructive purposes in the form of atomic bombs. She said that once in possession of this dangerous and destructive weapon, it is only a short step until its utilization in a repetition of earlier events which impregnated Earth's atmosphere with deadly clouds, which since then have injured all of nature and produced catastrophic climatic changes all around the world. She said that the human beings of this earth are at a stage of development where every increase in knowledge is dangerous because of present earthman's insane and unbridled thirst for power. That this is degenerate and contrary to nature. That if earth humanity is to be helped, it is only possible when he gives up his power-mad delusions. That's why we have to reduce the power of every leader. A complete change in thinking is of necessity before he can be allowed access to more advanced information. As long as he does not get rid of his egotism and does not learn the truths, so long help cannot be given him from beyond Earth. Throughout the day of the 4th of February, the discussions continued until night fell. Then Ascot said goodbye as they were standing outside her ship, and Meyer turned and went into the small shuttlecraft still parked there, which had brought him there 2 days ago, and the startup process began as before. He was quickly returned and set down in the same place from which he had departed that memorable early night. He floated down out of the ship and was barely a few steps away when it slowly rose up into the air and then, like a flash, shot up into the dark sky and disappeared, going straight up and out of sight. After that, Meyer wrote, Ascot's explanations and details took a long time, and also many other matters were mentioned and explained, about which I still keep strictest silence. Even if I wanted to change this, I would not be able. Because first, I have given a promise, and second, all is now protected by a security block, so that even if I wanted to, I would not be able to speak. I do not know the kind of security block, as it is only known to me that I am not able to speak, even by will, without permission. I only know that this security block was generated by Ascot, using some kind of peculiar apparatus. I must confess that Ascot's explanations at first seemed unreal, and I thought I might be dreaming. I always expected to wake up and get back into reality again, but the longer Ascot's explanations lasted, the more I became convinced that everything was already reality and that I was not suffering from any dream. I pinched my earlobes severely and burned a cigarette into my left hand and felt the pain. Several times I squeezed Ascot's hand and pressed it strongly, and I heard her cry out and felt her opposite pressure. I tried other things, but everything seemed to be true reality and that I was not dreaming. 3 days passed, and on 7th of February, Meyer was again directed to a new meeting place with Ascot. He says, "It had just become really dark when I heard a soft whirring, as if near the rotor blade of a helicopter, near the end of its rotation. Then near me a dark object sank and landed in the field. Uninvited, I walked towards it and suddenly saw a slim figure appear. It was Ascot, who now called to me. We let ourselves be lifted together into the ship, and already we sat in the comfortable seats. I did not feel the slightest motion when the ship climbed up and swiftly shot into the night sky. Only on the different viewing screens I saw the starting maneuver and the fast flight away. Otherwise, nothing new happened. The ship became neither transparent nor did it shine. It just remained as it was, solid, tangible, and very stable. During the flight, no word was spoken, and Ascot occupied herself calmly with the various control apparatus. Then I saw on the viewing screen, deep below us, visible mountain contours, towards which we seemed to rush down. Without feeling any discomfort, the ship stopped quite suddenly, out of its rushing speed, and it just remained hanging in the air for some minutes. Then it slowly started to move again, and floated softly down to earth like a feather. Meyer continued his explanation. When we let ourselves be transported out of the ship, I noticed that we were again in the same location, where only a few days before we had met. Contrary to Europe, the weather was very mild here. High in the heavens, thousands of stars flashed, and different voices of the night could be heard. I felt secure and glad to be here. Slowly, Ascot and I wandered through the rocky wilderness, and then sat down on a big flat stone. Here Ascot began to speak for some time. Ascot, the time has now, 1956, come for you to experience many things, which for you and others some later will be useful in the search for truth. I have told you of the possibility of time travel into the past or future. According to our technology, we have the ability to undertake such journeys and to bring them now into use for the benefit of your mission. As it is decided, you will travel back with me into different time epochs to be able to examine the truth of events in their places and locations of occurrence, and to see that your traditions and the affirmations of your own history are incorrect and actually agree with the true events on rare occasions. You have been informed about the course of your life, which will be troublesome and difficult. But the time of your lessons has not yet finished, because it will last another 20 years, which you will experience as heavy times of enormous hardship. Though up to now it has been difficult, it will become still more so in the future. But be yourself conscious of the necessity of having to finish these educations as just for your task. The next years will bring you into prison and into war services outside of your homeland. You will have to acquit all stations of a fighting man to know and understand all very thoroughly. For if you are to undertake the matter, you can only do so having experienced everything by yourself. Likewise, it will also be with some passions in which you will indulge. As well, heavy body pain will not be spared you, nor psychic pain. You will think that you have lived in hell, but by that you will learn to understand the heaven. Already now I want to tell you that within less than 10 years, you will have to pass the, until then, hardest emanation of your life. Yet this examination in your fate will be necessary to collect much understanding. I know your distant future, for I have penetrated it, that many evil things will befall you. A great change will come over your body. Thus suddenly you will start to lead a completely new life. For this moment now it will sound very hard for you, but so it must indeed be, and we are not able to change your fate, because this is not within our power. It will be good for you to prepare yourself for the coming event, and to meet the facts with a clear head, for only you are able to do that, and I want to explain what is coming. The further occurrences of your own future are the following, but which you shall not tell anybody. And then the future events were mentioned, and then Asket says, further events will be that in a short time, before the loss of your arm, in Persia you will find a new identification in the name of Billy. The name has meaning in it that will weigh heavily on you. Your provided name, Billy, will become known worldwide. Until then, you will be completely on your own. And during this time you will get no further instructions or lessons from us. This is the last and most difficult lesson you will have to overcome alone. The struggle for truth will be difficult because you will have to confront the opposition of the UFO groups, being strongly established within their beliefs. You will be hated worldwide, and your life will be threatened. But nonetheless, do work fast and precisely to fulfill your mission, as the time runs fast and the death of your body cannot be delayed. He was then told when and how he will die, which he is not allowed to reveal. Concerning this contact with Asket on 8th of February 1956, Meyer wrote, quote, the process of the transmission in time travel took about 10 minutes, while the actual jump over lasted only a fraction of a second to go from one time to another. The what and how of the technique was never explained by Asket. At the beginning of a transmission, something astonishing occurred in that the whole surroundings of the ship grew slowly dim to exist no more. I noticed the same process within myself as well. And in the moment of leap, it was suddenly replaced by something else. Asket guided into different time epochs, both back into the past and into the future. I saw and experienced many events, there which can never be agreed to by historians and scientists of other branches. I had to recognize that many scientific theses of our time are just that, theses alone, and are far from the real truth, especially respecting many events and occurrences in the past. And I also saw that many natural scientific events were completely different from what some of our scientists advocate. The different time travels are not allowed to be closer reported because they hide deep truths in themselves, which must remain forever hidden. Asket has permitted that a quite certain event may be reported, being of important consequence to what is happening today. On 11th February 1956, still on a continuation of the pickup on 8th of February, during a time trip to Death Valley in California, Asket had this to say. Asket, you wonder about very many things that I tell you. Your assumption is not correct, as the horse was not brought from Europe to Asia. Just the opposite is correct. All horses of this world were created on this continent, North America, which you call America. This continent was, until around 50,000 years back in your chronology, inhabited by human beings, by universe travelers and their descendants. As usual in this world, they quarreled with one another and destroyed themselves and the others. They invented an atomic bomb and exploded it in a flash war. The effect was cataclysmic, and it depopulated this whole continent. And different sorts of animals as well, such as the horse, were completely eradicated, As far as I know, you call this sort of horse of that time the Hipparion. Even today, after 50,000 years, you still call certain regions of this continent in the same manner as they were once called in those other times. The names were carried forward to the present time, as well as some evidences of that unreasonably insane and barbarous time still exist. The one who wants to see these can examine and make judgments about them for himself. These are the places of ancient cities, which many thousands of years ago stood on those sites, and which in atomic hells were melted down into glass-like masses. The best-preserved proofs have become a curiosity in your time, because the Earthman does not know their origin. Well known are those in this respect, still under the name Death Valley, which also is still connected with other events of the present time. The Fire Valley, near the city of Las Vegas, is another witness to the past and timeless atomic insanity of the Earth human being. Atomic war is not new to this modern generation of humanity. The dangerous atomic sciences have been discovered and employed on Earth before. And never yet has Earthman failed to destroy himself and his entire civilization, even on a worldwide scale, along with him. It has never assisted humanity to newer and loftier goals. Some other sites of waste residue left by prehistoric atomic blasts may be found in Monument Valley, Arizona, the Baca Valley in Lebanon, the West Australian Desert, and northwest of Cuenca, Ecuador. And there are more. Meyer says, Askett furnished many other explanations, but which I am not permitted to tell. They deal, without exception, with events of the past, which will not have full meaning until the future. How those events are connected to and influence the future was explained. This time travel visit to sites of earlier atomic devastation in conflicts that wiped out entire cities is of special interest to our society in this modern age, and of particular interest to some of the investigators in this case, because we have personal knowledge of and have handled evidence of the ruins of such a blast of stupendous magnitude on the eastern slopes of the Andes, a few dozen miles northwest of Cuenca, Ecuador. The best estimate of time of that event that we have been able to obtain based on specimens of the vitrified waste material brought back in 1972, was that the pumice block was subjected to such heat that it turned it to glass somewhere between 6,000 up to 12,000 years ago. We then undertook a search for supporting evidence and found a good deal. It reminds me of the kids who say that they want to turn Arab nations into glass, the sands of their deserts into glass. This is ignorance. These are children talking, children with no experience, no knowledge. This book is important because it brings that knowledge to the people, so they can see the mistakes that were made of the past. And I feel compelled to give this commentary at this time during this book, because if I don't, an opportunity will be missed to impress upon the reader here the significance of the statements of those who advocate the use of nuclear weapons, ignorant of the fact that we have destroyed ourselves so many times in the past, according to this report by Billy Meyer, who took trips through time and space to learn the truth and to bring it to the world. And I'm reading this book because I have a purpose. And I know that this is the best way to achieve that purpose, reading you the book, making it easy for you to understand the message of Billy Meyer's life and the reason why he was trained and the purpose of the intervention. They call it the mission. Why they came here to make these changes to avoid the catastrophe, and anyone who hears this recording is involved now that you know, and charged with a job to do, to spread the truth to others. Just 10 a day, that's all you need. The numbers vary, but I'm reaching 3,000 to 5,000 people a day, consistently. And you can do the same. And I came here only to find 10 a day. I will now return to the book. Meyer was told of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was from a similar blast. And we may observe that some of the purification rites described in the Old Testament sound very much like radiation decontamination and radiation effects and their treatment today. The Ramayana, an epic poem of ancient India, variously dated from 500 BC to as far back as 3000 BC, is a collection of historical legend narrated by the Indian sage Narada to the court historian Valmiki. These are the pearls of wisdom which inspire certain Indian sects today. It describes, among other things, Rama, the son of Dasaratha, king of Ayodhya in northern India, as dueling with Ravana and celestial cars, fighting in the sky and destroying Ravana in Lanka, a former continent in the Indian Ocean, the remains of which are now known as Ceylon, which is now Sri Lanka, with atomic missiles. Rama's father, King Dasaratha, was said to have sprung from an ancient star race, descendants of the kings of the stars, space beings who ruled India then. These celestial cars were circular in shape, golden in color, and radiant to look upon, and were drawn by the steeds like the solar ray. After the death of his wife Sita, Rama lived alone and held secret conferences with a heavenly messenger, like the biblical prophets meeting the Lord. Years later, Rama left Ayodhya in a celestial car and entered heaven. Here we have another direct assumption into heaven in the same manner as our own biblical Elijah. Ramachandra Dikshitter, in his War in Ancient India, Macmillan, London, 1945, translates the Samaragana Sutradhara by King Bhojanina, 11th century, as saying that there were flying machines which could attack visible and invisible objects, ascending, cruising thousands of miles in all directions in the atmosphere, and even mounting to the stellar regions, deep space. The Bhishma Parva on page 44 describes the conflict between Arjuna and Bhishma, where it states that the enemy invoked a celestial weapon resembling fire in effulgence and energy. The Mahabharata, one of the oldest books in the world, describing the Bharat War in northern India, paints a picture of a great and noble civilization destroyed in an 18-day war. In one battle, reported in the Samsatakavada Parva, page 58, the craft are described as being circular in form and capable of forward, backward, and diverse other motions. James Churchward, in The Children of Mu, referring to millenniums-old records, claims this war was fought about 20,000 BC. Chandra Roy, in his translations from the Bhishma Parva, described the Brahmadanda, Brahma's rod, as infinitely more powerful than even Indra's bolt. The latter can strike only once, but the former can strike whole countries and entire races from generation to generation. This sounds very much like a radiation weapon to us. The Mahabharata also describes the flying vehicles used by the invincible celestials as the Vimana, a double-decked circular craft with a dome having portholes. It flew with the speed of the wind and gave forth a melodious sound. It could stop and remain motionless in the sky, and it soared above the clouds. From altitude, the ocean looked like a small pot of water. The Vimanas were employed for sport as well as for travel and warfare, where they used the Samhara, a missile that crippled, and the Moha, a weapon that produced a state of paralysis. The Bodha Parva on page 97 mentions the Vaishnava weapon, which conferred invisibility and was able to destroy in all worlds. Page 383 refers to a race-annihilating missile. Bhishma hurled a missile that crushed, O King, thy soldiers in battle, and it seemed to fill the whole earth with a loud noise, and blazing forth in splendor, that fierce missile inspired thy sons with fear. Beholding that missile, with lightning flashes coursing towards them, thy warriors fled, uttering frightful cries, and at the unbelievable, many men fell where they stood, and many car warriors also fell from their cars. They fought and died for their gods. The Drona Parva, on page 677, describes the Agneya weapon, blazing with smokeless fire on all sides, showers of flaming debris, darkened sky all around, inauspicious winds began to blow, clouds roared, scorched heat by the energy of the weapon, water boiled, and warriors fell like trees in a forest fire. Huge elephants fell all around. Thousands of cars fell down on all sides, air vehicles crashing, destroying everything. And both sides fought in the name of their own respective gods. Yes, there is indeed considerable confirmation of Asket's story of earlier atomic wars fought here on Earth, when she took Meyer to one of those sites in an earlier time to show him what we had planned for ourselves, and she carefully pointed out that these terrible weapons have never been produced and not used.